They were written in Spanish, but as I am comfortable with that language, I had no trouble absorbing them. The author was Lobsang Rangpa, and the books were The Third Eye, You Forever, and The Silver Cord. The more I read, the more I understood the spirit and its physical constitution. It was becoming easier for me to travel in spirit whenever I chose. I learned to concentrate and relax. Practicing it was inexpensive entertainment. I spent many hours on these astral trips, always marveling at the wonders of experience these spiritual adventures offered me. Even more so when I was able to travel with Rama. Chapter 13. The Immaculate Conception. On Monday, September 23, 1974, I drove back to Akaya. I was prepared. I'd read the book of Matthew in the Bible, anticipating the discussion I would be having with Rama. She told me she would analyze the origins of Christ as they related to UFO phenomena. I could hardly wait. It wasn't quite as warm on Tuesday as it had been the day before. I was especially sensitive to the temperature, since I had to go swimming inside one of the chilly bathhouses. After my bath, I went to the restaurant to have breakfast. It must have been about 10 o'clock when I heard Rama's patrol bike approaching. I saw her driving toward the river and called out to her. After we greeted, we walked to my car to get my briefcase. I couldn't wait to tell her my news. Rama, something really wild happened to me while I was practicing astral projection, I said. Really, Chicho? Tell me about it. This is getting to be a lot of fun. It's turning out just as you said it would, extremely entertaining and interesting. Yet it doesn't seem to interfere with my everyday life, even though it takes a great deal of time and concentration. I think getting to know your own spirit and being able to take it out of your body at will is an incredible experience. That's certainly a change in your attitude. I told you you'd like it. What do you want to tell me? The other day, I was trying to concentrate and get into trance. I was sitting by the beach in my car, sort of semi-conscious, when it happened. I remember the 236 sensation of my spirit leaving my body, but it was more like a dream because I didn't have full control of where my ananas and ananites were going. I was in a place with several waiting rooms that had tables in the center and some magazines laying around. I saw many people, wearing coats and carrying umbrellas. I remember the air was moist, like it had just rained. I picked up one of the magazines and started leafing through the pages, not paying too much attention to what I was seeing or reading. Then something caught my attention. I saw a picture of the Virgin Mary, surrounded by priests and nuns. The caption read, apostrophe Pope Clement the 15th. I was conscious enough to react to what I had seen, because I rushed back to my physical body and woke up, suddenly, like one who is just falling asleep and is startled awake. I guess my ananas and ananites had to make a speedy return. Then I was fully conscious. Well, that happens every once in a while. Wait, I haven't finished yet. At the bottom of the page I had seen the name and date of the magazine. You know how sometimes it's very difficult to separate dreams from reality. I was so confused I could hardly tell if I'd had a dream or if it had been some weird facet of astral projection. There was only one way to find out. I had to go out and get the magazine article. I did. It was real. The contents of the magazine were as real as I had seen them during my astral trip. Now I can hardly wait for you to tell me what happened. How was I able to sense the moist air, touch the magazine, and remember its contents? From what you're describing, it seems that your spirit wandered into space and some attractional force took it to a hospital or social security office in the south side of Chicago, or somewhere on Long Island. What could have caused this phenomena? 1. Your subconscious mind in search of evidence concerning our last conversation. You wanted to get the nitty-gritty. 2. Your thoughts were perhaps picked up by some benign spirit or spirits wanting to help you with your research and investigations. How could that be? You do have spiritual guides in the universe, you know. No, I didn't know that. Well, now you know. This is what people might call a gut feeling, a visitation from their guardian angel, intuition, premonitions, the something tells me sort of thing. When you read about the Rosicrucians, you learn more about this. You say you felt your spirit leaving your body, yet there was no way you could control it? Yes, that's what confuses me. There's no need to worry about it. What we have here is a simple case of spiritism. Only your ananas left your body, and someone in that waiting room facilitated his anionites for your ananas to have full perception for a few moments. In other words, half of his spirit and half of yours became one spirit briefly. You mean something like possession? My soul incarnating into the body of that person in the waiting room? Not so much like incarnation. It was more a case of the medium lending you his consciousness. What about this person's consciousness? Where did it go? Nowhere. Let's just say this person was daydreaming, in a daze, flipping the pages unconsciously. Yeah, people do that. Especially when they're nervous or worried. What about my ability to sense the moisture, and the dreamlike effect? As far as the sensation is concerned, your body was perceiving whatever the physical body of Mr. X is was experiencing at that moment. Your silver cord served as a broadcasting device, similar to the television phenomena. That explains the visual image I had. I got exactly whatever those eyes were seeing. Yes, you did. Once you were back in your physical body, fully conscious, you rewound it like a videotape and played it back. The whole trip was transmitted to your brain by your silver cord and stored in your mind. Why did it have to be that I bumped into precisely this situation in order to see that magazine just a few days after we talked about Pope Clement XV, and after you'd told me I would stumble onto a magazine? What I'm asking is, was it planned for me to have this dream or revelation? Yes. By whom? Yourself or maybe one of the spiritual guides in the universe picked up your sincere desire to find some proof of what we discussed here last time we saw each other. This entity merely channeled your vibrations into the circumstances, so you could see it. It was actually a vision. Yeah, it was. So, I imagine you must have had some sort of faith in a saint or a rabbi at one time. When I was a kid, I was told in church that by praying to your patron saint, all your wishes on earth would come true, but as I look back, it seems nothing but a bunch of nonsense. I remember talking to you once about this patron saint stuff. I told you that when I was a child I studied in a Catholic school. I was such an impossible kid the priests used to joke with me, saying that mine should be Saint Jude, the patron saint of the impossibles. Once we get away from the religious programming, and go a little deeper into the real meaning of these things, you'll come up with a different outlook. Really? Do you think that Jude could be a spiritual guide? Whenever I'm in a tight spot, I always say, Saint Jude, help me, or OAV, like my Jewish grandmother. Whether I believe it or not, I say it anyway. Do you know who Saint Jude was? There were two Judes, you know. One good. The other, Judas Iscariot, sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. The other, whose name was Jude Thaddeus, was a brother of James and cousin to Christ. After the crucifixion, he was taken prisoner. Cousin to Christ? You mean Jesus actually had a family in this world? Why not? He was only a man, born out of a woman, just like anybody else. I take it we're going to be talking about this Jesus Christ superstar today. We certainly are. And I hope you give it a fair chance. I'm not going to be selling you on the man. We're just going to make simple sense out of whatever is said here today. You know you will go and research and come to your own conclusions anyway. Did you read what I asked you to? I sure did. It was tedious, because this Bible I have is an old one and the language in it is really archaic. This book omits 30 years of the life of Christ, except for the incident when he was 12 years old and his parents found him with the high priests of the temple discussing the holy books. Now with what you've read, it shouldn't be difficult for you to come to an easy understanding of his origins. Let's start with the book of Matthew. skip the genealogical tree, and start with verse 18 of the first chapter. When you read, make your language more 20th century, okay? Matthew 1:18, I began. These are the facts concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin she became pregnant with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, who do they think they're kidding? I knew a girl in Beverly Hills who claimed to be a virgin. When she got pregnant, it turned out this virgin was getting involved in some pretty heavy sex with her butler. I remember how everyone teased her about having been impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Come on, drama, this is the 20th century. Keep reading. Then Joseph, her fiancé, being a man of stern principles, decided to break off the engagement, but to do it quietly for he didn't want to disgrace her publicly. Good for him. I don't blame him for not wanting to get involved in some kind of biblical patent place. As he lay awake considering this, he fell into a dream, and saw an angel standing beside him. Joseph, son of David. The angel said, don't hesitate to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This will fulfill God's message through his prophets. Now, let's see how all this happened. You mean the conception by the Holy Spirit? Yes, but as always, we shall be mature and will keep in mind that UFOs are not fiction. The same thing applies here. We just have to consider that our angels are UFOnauts, messengers of God, visitors from other worlds and other galaxies. Let's turn to the first chapter of Luke. Skip the part where an angel comes to Zacharias and tells him that his wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby, even though the woman was advanced in years, and unable to bear children. She was sterile. You can read in Genesis 21 and 30, that two women named Sarah and Rachel also conceived children by intervention of the messengers of God. Sarah was the mother of Isaac, right? That is correct. Now, going back to the birth of Christ, read Luke 1:26-29. The following month God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, in Galilee, to a virgin espoused to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Gabriel appeared to her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, you are blessed among all women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Once again, who do you think this angel Gabriel was, now that you have all this knowledge? A cosmonaut who came out of a UFO. Good. See, now you and I are able to have a nice juicy chat on the same level. Come on, drama. Do you really expect me to write about this? Can you imagine the impact this will have? People will think we're nuts. Who cares? Remember, these writings are just for a chosen few. Actually, it's for the few who will take a few moments to check out the information. Besides, we're not going to be disrespectful or blasphemous. On the contrary, I can't wait for you to start realizing we practice the same teachings of Christ. We're here to prepare the ground for this second coming, or have you forgotten already? It's not that I've forgotten. It's just that this whole thing seems so far-fetched. Look, I know you have your doubts. But don't let that discourage you. What you hear today may make sense to you. If it does, you're going to become interested, then you'll make your inquiries. You'll learn, and after you learn, you'll become more tolerant. The more tolerant you become, the wiser you'll grow. The wiser you become, the closer you'll come to eternal life. You see, Jesus, Buddha, Moses, Ezekiel, Madame Blavatsky, Edgar Cayce, Zarathustra, the Tibetan Lamas, you and I. We all have one special thing in common. What's that? We all know God is an eternal vibratory force living within us, and that Jesus was just one man of many who brought your world the Word of God. What I'm trying to do today is explain these things to you in an intelligent way. but it seems to me you'd rather jump the gun before you even give the man a fair chance. I'm sorry, Rama. I guess that's the way I've learned to react. It's a sort of self-conditioning. I can sense what's in your heart, which is why I want to go through this with you. All right. This angel Gabriel or space cadet spoke to the Virgin Mary, and greeted her in the name of God. Did the angels call this eternal thought of creation the Lord? Yes, and these angels knew 2,000 years ago that they couldn't talk about UFOs, because it would have been too difficult going into the actual explanation of space travel. As it was, people used to think that cosmonauts were gods anyway. People have always had the tendency to think of God as some supreme being with a human form and physical body. In our conversations, the Lord is God as the third force, and the angels or cosmonauts are the priests who brought God's teachings. I began reading the first chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 30. Don't be afraid, Mary, said the angel, for God has decided to wonderfully bless you. Very soon you're going to become pregnant and have a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of God. Mary asked the angel, but how can I have a baby? I am a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of God shall overshadow you, so the baby born to you shall be utterly holy, for he will be the Son of God. Furthermore, your cousin Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. There has been and still exists some religious controversy about whether or not Mary was a virgin. I don't think that concerns us. The important thing is that Mary became pregnant. Some people call it the work of God, a miracle, a mystery. Call it whatever you wish. I have two words for you that will clearly explain away all the mystery connected with the Immaculate Conception. That is, if you really want to be scientific about it. Two words. Artificial insemination. I never thought of that. Yes, why not? Right, it couldn't be impossible for superintelligences to have the technology to plant a seed in a woman's womb. Didn't those biblical women have to be examined or something? Not necessarily. With Mary it only took some kind of light beam that shone upon her. You've just said the magic word, technology. You mean something like laser beams? Something like that. I've read that in Tres Arroyos, Argentina, in December of 1972, a man named Ventura Macayras saw a UFO. He was 73 years old, and he said that after a light beam from the UFO shone on him, he began growing a new set of teeth. Imagine that. Those would have been his third set of teeth. 2,000 years ago, that would have been considered a miracle, a mystery. I see what you're driving at. So this baby was born, and three wise men were led by a star to the place of birth. Astronomically speaking, do you know of any stars with minds of their own that could actually get close enough to the Earth and guide some people traveling in camel caravans? I don't think so. What else could it have been? Rama and I just exchanged a glance to remind me of the obviousness of the answer. So now we have this child and nobody knows who his father is or was. I think if we say he was a god, made man, we're not getting too far out of line concerning reality. Because, up to now, nobody knows what's the mystery of the birth of Jesus. No one has even made the effort to consider that the UFO connection could have been behind the birth of this super being. When I met you, you said that if our scientists on Earth would take a minute and consider the possibility that the missing link could be associated with the stars, we would have found what makes humans out of apes. What else do you know about his life? Rama asked. He was taken to Egypt when he was a baby because King Herod had heard that a king had been born. Fearing for his own royal status, he ordered that every male child 2 years and under be killed. Then for 30 solid years, the Bible goes into complete silence about his life except for a passage where he gets lost at the age of 12 and he's found discussing theology with doctors of the law. For many centuries, all kinds of studies have been made of the silent years of Jesus. Many have agreed that during those years Jesus studied with the Essenes. The who? The Essenes, a brotherhood that existed maybe a couple of centuries before Christ. There were the teachers of righteousness. Did they have anything to do with the Great Pyramid initiates? Maybe. You've told me that Christ studied in the Great Pyramid, therefore he knew of God as a third force. This is true, but as far as the Essenes are concerned, they were a universal brotherhood that didn't make their knowledge public. People referred to them by various names, the Silent Ones, the Retired Ones, Servants of God, Mysterious Ones, the Prophesiers, the Healers, and the Strong Men. In other words, the Essenes didn't have a public relations office with a spokesperson who divulged their true status. Can I find anything at a library on these Essenes? Yes, a book called The Lost Years of Jesus Revealed, by Charles Francis Potter, Fawcett Publications, New York, 1962. But until you check for yourself, let me tell you that these people had a great deal of influence in the life of Christ. Since Christ was only a man like anybody else, his learning had to come from somewhere. Of course, he was a bright kid, and he picked up a great deal of knowledge from many sources. Who informed him that he was the Son of God? I guess he learned that in the Great Pyramid, because in it there is written the date of birth and the death of Christ. Really? Yes, and now that we're on the subject of the Great Pyramid, let me give you a few scientific facts. The Great Pyramid wasn't built by people in your world. It was built with the aid of extraterrestrials. Humanity here didn't have the manpower nor the know-how to build a monument to mankind with God's direct intervention. What do you know about the Great Pyramid? Just what I learned in school. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. The three pyramids were built by one of the greatest cultures on earth, the Egyptians. It's believed that the pyramids are tombs and monuments to great pharaohs or Egyptian divinities. Inside them are the labyrinths that are the most incomprehensible puzzles man has ever encountered. That's what stayed with me. You did say a couple of magic words. You said labyrinth, meaning rooms and corridors coming and going in every direction, making no sense to you, right? Right. What's the other? Incomprehensible. Since the beginning, the pyramids have been a mystery to mankind. They go so far back in time. Almost 6,000 years, therefore, not within the reach of history. I could fill your entire house with books on what has been written about the Great Pyramid. Archaeology, science, history, fiction, Egyptian tragedy, and even Hollywood movies give detailed descriptions on how they were built. I'm not going to ask you to read any of them because for the next 2 years you're going to be doing a lot of other reading. When it comes to the Great Pyramid, the only book you must read is a book that came out in 1951 or thereabouts. It's the work of a group of scientists who've taken the time to study every inch of the chambers and corridors of those labyrinths. Yes, I remember, I've been there. You see? Where there's a will, there's a way. And mind you, this isn't any kind of half-baked study. Lots of tedious years of careful interpretations of symbols, measuring, comparing geometry, calculus, are involved. Are you talking about the book, Dramatic Prophecies of the Great Pyramid by Rodolf Urbanowicz? That's the one. By the time you start working on this, the book will be available to you. The Great Pyramid was built to last this entire era. There's also a message that takes you into the final days of Armageddon. In the confines of the pyramid you'll find marks and symbols that represent significant dates for humanity, such as December 25th, July 4th, 1776, October 12th, 1492, August 9th, 1945, September 17th, 2001. I mentioned this before, this is also where Moses gained a great deal of his knowledge. Remember that Christ corroborates Moses. Building the Great Pyramid was a direct intervention of God, as a guide to choose between eternal life or whatever. Most of the prophets and masters of esoteric teachings have made their prophecies after careful and illuminating studies of the Great Pyramid. Most of the symbols and prophecies in the Bible have been taken from it. But, of course, the pyramid not only inspired the Judeo-Christian prophets, but others as well. Rosicrucians, Essens, Balzac, Nostradamus, who prophesied that by the 20th century parapsychology would be a science. Rama, I don't mean anything negative, but is there a way I can research the pyramids and find out about the ufonauts' part in building it? You'll just have to take my word for it, for now. Don't worry about it, your astral projection will provide you with more information. Does the Rodolfo Benavides book actually give dates? Yes, and they've been pretty accurate so far. This book sounds like a real winner. Let me give you a few examples. These are almost direct quotes. It says that between 1962 and 1967 the economy of many nations will be shaky, several currencies will stagger and gold will decline in value. Gene Dixon also said that, based on his interpretation of the symbols in the Great Pyramid, Rodolfo Benavides predicted in his book, which came out in 1960, that Christianity would be split in half, between the old and the young, that a pope would travel, trying to regain his lost priests, and that people would have a new music which would be sensual and primitive. He also saw that moral and spiritual values would be crumbling. He said beards would symbolize the rebellion of a whole generation and that women's hair growing on men's heads would indicate that the spirit of Sodom is back on earth. He talked about the black race consolidating its power, and that it would cause much bloodshed. War will expand to satisfy the egotistical and political ambitions of a few people. From 1967 through 1972, we'll see nothing but mass confusion in world affairs. Several wars will be fought by the United States, and hate will grow against this country. There will be a fever to conquer the stars with man finally getting to the moon, and terrestrial space travelers finding spacemen from other worlds. It's said that 1970 will be the year it's discovered that UFOs have been watching over your people, that these are invaders or space warriors. Later, it will be found that they're the servants of God, because they'll be speaking of peace, love and justice. Some extraterrestrials will step on the surface of the Earth. People will say they're green, then others will land and these will be said to be black in color. Then the black race will claim they're from the planet Neptune. By then, archaeology will have discovered that the ancient Mexican Mayans and Peruvian Incas came to Earth from the planet Venus. You said all this was to have happened between 1967 and 1972? Why haven't we heard about these things if they have been accurate prophecies? Come on, look around you. Most of these things have happened already. I haven't finished with this period yet. You mean there's more? China will gain terrain over the globe, people will be looking for the third sex. Human psychology will be affected by the increasing impact of the sunspot activity. War, crime, violence, terrorism, will be crueler and bloodier. Religion won't have enough strength to guide humanity to love one another. Human life in laboratories will defy nature. People will forget God and spiritualism. There will be religious persecutions. It's already happening in Ireland. Finally, for this period, the pyramid says that cancer cannot be cured because it is a soul disease. And man will deny soul and spirit. This is all written in the Great Pyramid? Yes. Would I get this information here on Earth? Yes. It also says that from 1972 to 1977, the world is due for a catastrophic war, although it may be delayed. This war will have its climax around 1992, with 5 months being the worst. 5 months. Wait, I remember 5 months mentioned in the Bible. Here, Revelation 9-5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion, when he stricketh a man. The pyramid also reads 5 months, huh? A nuclear war won't take more than that to wipe out the human race. The 666 number, as the one to identify the beast of destruction, was also taken from the pyramid. Toward the end of this period, people are going to live in constant fear of crime, war and violence. For me, that's already a reality, I'm scared to walk in Central Park at night with all the muggers running loose. 11 And, by the way, in this book you'll find everything you would want to know about Wormwood, or Herculubus,